Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This hour on The Brian Lehrer Show, we have a chance to speak with President Obama's Undersecretary of Education, Martha Cantor, mostly about these scary new numbers on student debt and what the White House is trying to do about it. Just want to remind everyone first that this is day two of our spring membership drive. And as this hour goes on, I hope everybody will pledge some financial support to keep WNYC alive and strong as independent, not-for-profit radio. Thank you very much for the pledges that have come in so far today. We really, really appreciate each and every individual support. Pledge online, if you haven't done it yet, at WNYC.org, or you can just call us up on the phone, 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. We do have a chance now to speak with Martha Cantor, President Obama's Undersecretary of Education. She is spearheading efforts to restore America to number one in the world in the proportion of citizens who go to college. And she was in town yesterday to give the commencement address at the Columbia University Teachers College. Secretary Cantor, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
I'm delighted to be here.
In your speech to Teachers College graduates, I gather you talked about the vital role that high-quality teachers will play in the future of our country, mostly K through 12. We'll get to college later. But most of the debate in America today is about how to fire teachers more easily and about how to reduce teacher pensions. What will attract young talent to join or stay in the teacher ranks in the current blame teachers and strip teachers environment?
Well, hopefully our nation will get to a better place across the country to understand that teachers are the gateway to the future because they are changing lives each and every day. So a lot of the controversy is about the curriculum, about assessment, about evaluating teachers, and we have a proposal called RESPECT. It's a very simple name, RESPECT, because that's what teachers need and deserve, and we have very exciting plans across the country that are underway in many of our states to reevaluate how we can help more teachers get into the teaching profession. We need more than a million teachers to be hired over the next decade, and also how to retain those teachers so that they feel empowered in the classroom to work with their principals. It's not just the teachers, it's the principals, it's the school board, and it's the entire community that has got to come together to really make sure each and every child has an opportunity for success.
But how do you communicate that message of respect? The president's language on teachers, to my ear, has been contradictory. He talks about respect and supporting teachers and empowering creative ones, but then leads the charge with his race to the top criteria to get states to buy into the high-stakes standardized test model of education reform that creative teachers find so numbing. How do you square the two, and how does this say to the bright young students of America, teaching is the profession where you're going to be able to find your expression?
Yeah, I think a lot of the controversy is about how should we test students and teachers. And we have a tremendous opportunity in the two consortia. Each consortia has 20 to 25 states in it, called Smarter Balance and PARC. They have funding now to modernize assessment. Hopefully we can cut down on the testing time between that students are subjected to in the school system and improve the tests so that the tests really give meaningful feedback to teachers, to students, to parents, and to the community. And we've gone way overboard in the controversy, and we need to pull it back to the center. We're part of the conversation in terms of really wanting to say that one test does not tell the whole story about a student. It's a whole picture of the school environment, how valued teachers feel, how the leadership of the principal, how empowered teachers are in the curriculum. So there has to be a rethinking, and that's what Race to the Top is really doing. New York is looking at that. You know, obviously New York is a Race to the Top state. The multiple measures is a big national conversation. What should they be? And that's why, you know, being yesterday, being at Teachers College, talking about with the president of Teachers College, the fact that we have got to use evidence. We have got to be much better in this country about putting meaningful assessments in place that empower teachers and students to do their very best.
Undersecretary of Education Martha Cantor with us here on WNYC. She gave the commencement address at the Teachers College at Columbia University yesterday. Let me play a clip of President Obama from his commencement speech down the block at Barnard and ask you a follow-up question about it. Here it is.
This diploma opens up new possibilities. So reach back. Convince a young girl to earn one, too. If you earned your degree in an area where we need more women, like computer science or engineering, reach back and persuade another student to study it, too.
So the president invoked the very necessary idea of opening up non-traditional fields to more women. What about attracting more men to teaching? I have a boy in middle school. I see how important the few male teachers have been to him. Also, maybe teachers wouldn't be demonized so much if the profession wasn't such a pink-collar ghetto. Somehow the world doesn't get as upset when professional men make professional wages. Is that ever a goal?
Yes, it is. In fact, I talked about it at great length, using one of the graduates yesterday as a tremendous example of perseverance and leadership. He's been in the graduate program now, but he came from a very challenging situation. He turned his life around. He went and he was a summa cum laude graduate, went on to Columbia Teachers College, and simply wants to be a teacher because he wants to provide leadership so that more men, especially men from underrepresented populations, Latino men, African American men, can take up the call to teaching. I also talked about 1.4 million veterans coming back into the U.S. over the next 5 years, which is a tremendous opportunity to capture those people and inspire them with the profession of teaching if we can change the national conversation to one of respect.
All right. College. President Obama has set a goal that by 2020, the U.S. will again have the highest proportion of college graduates in the world. We used to, but we don't anymore. And I gather you are spearheading efforts to achieve that goal. How far from it are we today?
Well, we have a long way to go. We've made some incremental progress toward the 2020 goal, but frankly, we're 16th in the world. A generation ago, we were first. And what that means is we have to lift the nation in the proportion of undergraduates who receive their degrees and credentials from 42% today to 60% tomorrow. And we're behind Canada. Canada's at 60% right now. So we have a competitive spirit to say, can we do more in American higher education so we're not losing about half? Overall, we're losing half of the undergraduates over a six-year period. There's tremendous innovation taking place around the country to shorten the time to degree without compromising quality. A quality undergraduate education is really the goal, and many more students need to complete that goal in shorter amounts of time. It was interesting that Monroe Community College in New York State has this 100-day planning process in place. So in 100 days, what can the institution do to get more students completing their goal to graduate from Monroe and then go on to a university or go into the workforce? It's a great example of the kind of innovation we're seeing.
The New York Times had a story in Sunday's paper that we've been talking about earlier in the week on the show that was pretty daunting for college graduates and potential college students. Tuition costs are rising faster than health care expenses, which are famously leading the way in inflation in many years. And it said 94% of college graduates borrow to pay for their education, way up from 45% in 1993. But do I understand correctly that your office is disputing that 94% figure and saying that it's way high?
Yes, the accurate figure from our data, and certainly the Institute for Education Sciences does tremendous studies each and every year on the cost of college, and our figures are 60%. Even so, we want students taking less debt, and we need much more focus on financial literacy, good choices. A number of the institutions of higher education are building financial literacy into their work with high school so that students and families can be empowered to make better choices. One of the things we're doing is really working on what's called a college scorecard. If people are interested, they can go to the White House website and take a look at it. So families know, you know, what is the default rate of graduates? What is the repayment rate? What is the graduation rate? What is the quality of an institution? So that they can compare and choose good schools that really have a price that are affordable.
I know the administration is trying to keep the interest rate low on Stafford loans, but isn't the problem much bigger than that? For example, states have been reducing their contributions to state university systems, forcing more of the cost into tuition, hence less affordability, a lower proportion of Americans in, and more loans. Are you and the president urging the states to increase their funding?
Yes, we are urging what we're calling a policy proposal around shared responsibility. States can do a tremendous amount. So can families and students by getting their education at good schools and completing on time. And institutions themselves can do and are doing a lot to contain costs. And so if you look at the whole menu of what states need to do, what students and families can do, what the federal government can do to keep the loan interest rates affordable, and to put in place things that we're very excited about, income-based repayment. Many people across the country don't know that students will pay no more than 10% of their discretionary income on federal loans after they graduate. That's to keep college affordable in the long run for millions of Americans. Other Americans don't know about the American Opportunity Tax Credit. That will give families up to $10,000, $25,000 a year in tax credits to pay for education. So all of these things together paint a picture where we want families and students to learn more. We want to keep the net price of college, not the sticker price. You know, many families, everyone talks about the sticker price. Look at the net price. Mm-hmm. What we have is the financial aid shopping sheet on the web where families can put in the schools that they want to go to and compare what that net price is, look at the graduation rate, look at how much room and board costs, look at the fees, and then make better choices than perhaps we've done in the last 50 years.
One thing before we run out of time on that sticker price, how do you respond to arguments, mostly by conservatives, that it's the availability of student loans themselves and other aid that allows colleges to keep raising rates, that the colleges know what families themselves will be willing to borrow or spend? So on top of that, they add any student aid or loans that people can be expected to get to actually set their tuition price.
We have no research-based evidence to say that is the case. And we have historically supported every student, what I call the top 100% of people in this country who want to go to college, to give them that opportunity. So we're packaging up grants, scholarships, state aid, federal aid, and what families themselves can afford. And when you take all of that together, we paint a picture of college affordability for everyone. That should be our goal. 50 years ago, college costs were not what they are today. So we're very concerned about that going forward. And we look forward to talking with the entire community across the country about all the exciting innovations to get that done.
Undersecretary of Education for the Obama administration, Martha Cantor, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Jack Hitt. You know him from This American Life, maybe from his writing in Harper's or the New York Times. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.